Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and all I ask of you is to take your magical lasso and head on down to the point of no return, you Phantom of the Opera, you. Are you a wandering child? Bravo, monsieur. Don Juan's triumph rehearsal is no match for Hannibal rehearsal. But if you think of me, my angel of music, we'll go down once more into the music of the light. Night. Why did I say light? I don't know. Joining us today are the usual masqueraders who were wishing you were somehow here again, including Kevin, why so silent, Jaeger.
Never. That's never me.
Kimberly, our stranger than you dreamt it game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hey.
And with us today are two wonderful guests. One is returning and one is new. The returning guest you may know from such things as the current Christine in Phantom of the Opera, the tour of Love Never Dies, and Candide. Our new guest you've seen on Broadway in The Visit, Hans and Frozen, but he's the current Raoul in Phantom. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Hello. Megan Picerno and John Riddle.
You all
ready for this? Welcome.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We know how packed your schedules are right now. Phantom was the last show we saw before Broadway was canceled.
Is that right?
Yeah, we saw you two.
Yeah. Not at the last one. No.
No. It was earlier that week, I think.
The week before.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
Right?
Who knew?
Well, before we start talking about all that, what are you drinking? John, we'll start with you. What are you drinking?
Who, me?
Could it be? Then who? Yeah.
I'm having a White Claw.
What flavor?
I was always so anti, like Truly White Claw, all the different ones. And then now here we are in the quarantine and I'm...
So, just to be clear, White Claw is not sponsoring this episode. However, it is the perfect quarantine drink.
It truly is.
She's drinking Truly. I'm drinking White Claw. I have a Black Cherry White Claw. What do you, John, which flavor do you have?
It's a match.
Oh my god.
Wow. And
I get fancy and I pour it in a glass with ice.
I've done that too.
You can also top it off with a shot of tequila.
I have no idea what you mean.
Me being the novice here, White Claw is just like alcoholics, like seltzer, right?
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
We're not really sure what it is exactly, but that's right. What they brand it.
Is it like malt? Is it like a smeared off ice that is in a fancy can and had good marketing?
I mean, that's sort of,
I'm drinking Rioja.
I'm drinking my favorite cheap Prosecco because it was on sale at the liquor store, so I bought a case.
Well, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Wait, you bought a case?
Yes, I bought a case.
Well, and you'll be lucky if it lasts the week.
That's what I'm saying. We're in quarantine, girl.
You'll be lucky if it lasts this episode.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're this up.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We'll just start out with kind of, you know, what was your experience recently getting the call that, like, you're on hiatus for a bit?
We were actually at a matinee of, we have matinees on Thursday. Megan's not usually with us on Thursday afternoons. So we were in the middle of the show and... it was somewhere like almost right before Think of Me, I think. And they were like, Broadway's canceled.
Everyone doesn't know that's very early on in the show.
That's very early on in the show. So we were like, are we going to do the rest of the show? What are we going to do?
Stop.
Oh, yeah. Do we stop? Like,
did you
is
do
it
the rest
is
of the
COVID?
Show?
She finishes Think of Me and the Phantom comes out and goes, I will. And then they do the curtain down.
Yeah. Blackout. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Well, I found out because I was scrolling through Instagram and all of a sudden I saw like Playbill was like Broadway show's canceled. So I called I called Phantom and I was like,
you called the Phantom? He was performing.
I was like, hi.
No, he's always on the horn.
Exactly. He's one of my favorites on the phone. Exactly. But I was like, should I get my plant babies? And they were like, come here. And I was like, okay, yeah. So I came and I actually watched the show from backstage until so.
Sure.
I love that you didn't call and say, like, what's going on with my job? You called, should I get my plant babies?
That's literally what I said. I was like, hey, guys, so I saw, should I come and get my plants?
And the answer was, honestly, yes.
Yes, the answer was yes, you should come.
Yeah, but you finished that performance, yes?
We did finish that show, yeah. And it was a little, it was hard because there were people who... it was going to be their last show. So all of a sudden it was like their last performance in the middle of the performance. So it was kind of cool. Like the performance was alive in a lot of interesting.
That's cool
weird
that they got to like, but, no, a lot of people had their last performance the night before and yeah. the next
yeah.
day, like,
yeah.
oh, that was the end.
Yeah.
So kind of nice that they got a little,
I guess you can like really live in masquerade, I guess.
Yeah. Like the past the point of no return reprise was probably like really lit.
Yeah.
Megan, you had done this before. Not only around the world, but you had actually done Love Never Dies first.
Yes.
So you did a little, you know, Merrily We Roll Along with this.
Like a Benjamin Button.
Yeah. Benjamin buttoned it. So, talk a little, if you don't mind, talk a little bit about the reverse engineering of that, as most people will, I mean, 99.9% of people will, if they do play Christine in Love Never Dies, will play Phantom Christine first. Talk about kind of knowing the, quote, end of her story and kind of almost like doing it as a prequel.
Yeah, well, I am apparently the only one that's done that as a principal. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool trivia.
Yeah, cool trivia. I'm the only one that's gone backwards as a principal.
I can't wait till that happens on Jeopardy, and I can be like, Megan Machirdo!
And then he'll be like,
who is
there? Megan it is.
The day that I am a Jeopardy question, I know I've made it. Yeah, I remember like when I got to the world tour, Hal emailed me and he was like, all right, kiddo, now you got to remember, you can't be as strong at the beginning of Phantom particularly. And like, of course, you know, you can't deny Love Never Dies, but you kind of have to ingest it and forget it because like, she doesn't know where she's going to end up. But that being said, because you know where she ends up,
sure.
it does inform a little bit. And actually what's quite refreshing is the way that the creative team in New York on Broadway really discusses things is it's a much stronger Christine than I expected. And I was happily surprised by, like, I think I was a little, like, oh, are they going to have me play her like a young girl or possessed or something, but no, very strong. And it makes sense then how she would end up as her Love Never Dies self as that strong. So it's kind of, it's take the grocery list and forget it at the same time.
Yeah. So your expectations were almost, you had different expectations and you were pleased by kind of what you were asked to bring to it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like they really are, I mean, again, within the constraints of a period piece, I mean, they're 2020, but I mean, much stronger, much more willful and intelligent. So it's wonderful.
Cool. John, so your most recent Broadway shows, as we've already mentioned, are both well-known properties. So you had Frozen and you had Phantom. In Frozen, you originated a well-known character. And then in this one, you're kind of taking over for a well-known character. Can you talk about the differences in processes, what you felt the expectations were for both Hans and Raoul? Any similarities and differences that really helped creating Hans and bringing it to Raoul or vice versa?
Yeah, it was interesting going into Phantom because it's literally like paint by numbers kind of, and like everything is set and then you come in and you're the new, you know, you kind of stand where you need to stand. But then the cool thing is that at Phantom, they let you, I would say like, they give you the coloring book and then you get to use your box of crayons and go in and
sure. color,
you know? And so that's kind of a cool experience because the work is sort of already done for you in a way. that part of the work, and you don't really have a choice. It's not like you're gonna be like, you know what? I was thinking here that he, you know, like crosses left. Like there isn't any of that. So that I kind of enjoy because the fun part is like is all the little colors that you get to put into it. So that's kind of that, and it was a very short process too. It was like 2 weeks from the time you walk into a rehearsal room to the time you do the first show.
And how long were you with Frozen?
I was
from beginning to end.
From beginning to end, it was a little over 2 years.
Sure, wow.
And so with that show, like you were literally nobody's ever done it before except for on a TV screen,
right?
And so you're creating all those steps, and you're creating that skeleton of this is where you go cross left, this is where you cross right, and so that's kind of cool. It's just a different way of working. And both are sort of interesting but I think that it helps to, it helps to have both in your back pocket so that, because they're kind of two separate skills.
Yeah. It's very, I've seen you in both. So you're wonderful in both. So that's very interesting to kind of hear the process to kind of get where you are to presenting that character in different ways to an audience who have a pre-existing notion of what that character is and kind of how you influence it as an individual.
Yeah. I would think like, that's why they, you know, you kind of have to leave all that part behind, I feel like, because if you're worried about recreating something, then I don't know. That's not very interesting.
And John, you got to, like, from Frozen, you were playing a villain. And then in Phantom.
Yeah, Kevin.
And then in Phantom, you're kind of playing like this like dashing romantic lead. So like, would you say that it was like more of a devious fun to play a villain, or do you enjoy kind of being like the knight in shining armor character?
I like both, honestly, because, and I always somehow play the asshole and I play the nice guy too. It's either one or the other. But I like both because, it is interesting playing the villain, because at night you get a different reaction from the audience when you're the bad guy. Like they don't know exactly how to handle you, or at least that was my experience in Frozen.
Sure.
And I don't know, you're the nice guy. When you're the nice guy, you just sort of come out and like they clap for you and it's whatever. And, you know.
Megan, this is your Broadway debut.
Yes.
Let's talk about kind of, I'd love to hear, and your background for lack of a better term is mostly in opera, before you kind of started this which was natural because you're incredibly talented and kind of that transition into it. I guess talk a little bit about like, was having a background in opera and studying it for so many years and kind of perfecting that art and continuing to perfect that art. Was Broadway always a dream of yours? And kind of talk about your first experience, like that first performance.
Ah, okay. So to be honest, Broadway wasn't on my scope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't not on my scope, but
sure.
When you're in the Broadway or when you're in the opera world, you know, your vision and your blinders are on looking at different things. But I mean, I'm open-minded obviously, but like, it wasn't on my like, yes, that is my goal, you know, to attain. But I mean, I'll never forget, like once I'd entered into Candy, oh my gosh, guys, I've had a half a glass of wine. It's getting hot in here. This is quarantine life now. It's always weird. So the thing is, like, once I hit Candide, then all of a sudden my world just kind of flipped upside down. I mean, that being said though, I always kind of had a little interest in music theater. I mean, I did a program with Paul Gimignani and everything. So like, it was there. It just wasn't in the forefront. So then all of a sudden when Candide happened, which is when Jay and I did your show actually. As you were there from the beginning. I mean, all of a sudden my world just kind of went tipsy turvy and went on the craziest ride that, I mean, I think I was always meant to do this path.
Sure. Can you talk about your first, your Broadway debut, your first performance?
Guys, I mean, so here's the thing. So indeed, though, I had been doing my younger Christine self on the world tour for eight months by that point. And actually, unlike John, we had a very long rehearsal process because we built it from the ground up, which is amazing. So for 2 months, we were in rehearsal building the show. But ma, as we say in Italian, there was a big difference. When I got then, so I came back from Tel Aviv, and I had about 2.5 weeks, and then I went into rehearsal for Broadway. And I thought, wrongly, I was like, oh, well, this will just be the same thing because the New York creative team set us. No, it's not. It is slightly different, but not just that. Everything about the stage is totally different, as in like, not the actual set pieces, but like just the scale of it. It's a metal stage. There's trap doors. There's pyro. I'm running up and down things that I didn't have to before, climbing ladders that I didn't have to do before. So like that element of it. Also, even like the smoke itself is different. I mean, on the tour, this like new technology, which, you know, I don't think looks as opaque, but you know, it's something different. But here it is dry ice. I mean, it's just everything in that regard was different. So also, because I am from the opera world and I'm used to building shows from the ground up, like Love Never Dies, Candide, everything, I've never gone in to replace someone in a long running show. So Yeah. So I had the wrong preconceived notion that what a put in is. And so coming up to my Broadway debut, I was like, great. The put in is like a full on dress rehearsal. Great. Wonderful. And like, also they were really lovely. I mean, I'm kind of a romantic. And so I love the number 8. And they gave me the choice of making my debut on October 15th or October 16th. And I wanted the 16th for two reasons. One, it's double 8. And two, it's the same day that my world tour family was opening in Dubai. And it was kind of like, But it was like a beautiful kind of everyone's making their debut in a different way kind of thing.
Sure. That's wonderful.
So anyway, so leading up to my debut, you know, like rehearsals were getting like more intense. And then the day of my debut, I had like a 3-hour orchestra rehearsal. And that's a big difference too. On Broadway, it's.
But I was late too because I got caught in the rain.
Oh no!
Nightmare. The whole entire orchestra's in the pit, and I like run in my galoshes. Like, oh god, it was terrible.
So I mean, oh, and that was wait, really quick too. So I was also used to building the show with the people I was going to be on stage with always. In Phantom, a long-running show, the first people that you rehearse with are the swings and the covers. So by the time I got to John and Ben, I had been through like 4 Phantoms, 3
Broncos. You kissed so many boys.
Dream, you know?
Welcome to Broadway.
And then, so the day of my debut, I had like a 3-hour orchestra rehearsal, and then my put-in was the day before, and I wrongly assumed, like I said, that it would be like a full-on dress rehearsal, like everyone's in there, you know, the orchestra would be there, and everyone's dressed up, and like sound, no, lies. I was the only one in costume, and it was piano rehearsal. There was no smoke. I mean, so basically it was kind of like a sort of kind of tech run-ish. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God. And so my Broadway debut was truly the first time I was doing the show in full, this version of it. And another interesting thing about that is while the show is very similar to the one on the world tour, it is slightly different. Like if I would turn right on the world tour, I would turn left in New York. Mm. So like, I would constantly be like, where am I going? Oh my God. Like, you know, and anyway, so I did the 3-hour rehearsal, and I also had planned this, my Broadway debut party afterward. Cause I was like, well, no one else is having an opening night, but I am. So I had a big party at Dutch Fred's afterward. I had one of my friends, he's one of the fashion consultants for E, you know, like E News Entertainment.
Yeah.
And like got me this beautiful gold Jay Mendel gown. And I was like, I don't care. I'm going to wear this gown. Beautiful. Anyway, so fast forward to me, like, you know, going guns, balls to the walls to my Broadway debut. I do not remember anything from being on stage. I just remember puffing.
He was great. I was there.
I literally was like, what is happening? I was like, I go here and then I go here. And then like, there's one part, like I remember when you know, like when we run down the stairs before All I Ask of You and run back up. I never had to do that in the world tour. And like, you're so out of breath. So like, I was so proud of myself for actually making the timing. But by the time I got up the stairs, I was like, well, I've been there.
Everything. He went for a little jog.
It was insanity. And then I remember finishing it and just being like, what the hell happened? That was crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember so many people, including John and like David Caddick, they're like, take a moment for yourself and realize you're making your Broadway debut. And I actually didn't until when I came out for Bows, and I had over 100 people there in the audience.
I'm so jealous that John got to see you do that, like your bow, like because that jump was everything.
It was amazing. It was pretty amazing.
For those of you who don't know, I came out for my bow, and like John extends his hand, I start crying, and then mid hopping up and down, I was like, am I really jumping up and down right now on a Broadway stage for my debut? Yes, I am, apparently.
Yes.
So that was, and that's when I was like, oh man, like I'm at the Majestic making my debut. This is amazing. And then of course I was absolutely exhausted, did not want to get into my gown, and got into a sweater dress instead. Anyway, so it's long-winded. There you go.
No, it was great. Let's play a game.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
All right, I have a game called The Phantom of the Internet.
Mm.
Because we're all on our computers. Usually I play some games where I write things down and then I cut them up like playing cards and I put them in the middle of the table and we all like pick a few things and make something. That can't happen at the moment. So I figured out a way to get around it. So
okay.
You can all have your phones handy.
Yes.
And then I have my husband's Dungeons and Dragons dice.
Okay.
Okay.
He happened.
One does.
You know that they make dice that are 8 sides?
Yes, and more than 8.
Many, many, but yes. He has all different colors. So when it's your turn, you can pick a color of dice you would like.
Okay.
We have teal and copper. We have hot pink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't need any more answers. Like,
we have this weird little green guy.
It's going to be a warp.
This fire. And this is Professor Bubblegum. It's like a pink little sherbet.
Great.
Ooh.
He's named his dice collection. It's cool.
Yeah, this is nothing. This is not new.
Oh, this is normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Normal. This is quarantine.
Or next to it.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Oh. So anyway, I have in front of me for the Phantom of the Internet game, I have 8 options.
Okay.
Of the current most popular streaming television shows.
Okay.
During quarantine.
You better be on there.
So when it is your turn, I'll roll a dice of your choice for you to pick out what television show you get. And then if you can find the most recently song on your phone, you'll use the writer of that song to compose a musical version of this TV show. You'll make a musical out of the TV show that you pick.
Uh-huh.
Whoever wrote what you've listened to most recently.
It has to be the most recent song I've listened to?
Ish.
Okay.
I'm not going to come to your phone and
like show me your phone.
She might.
You get bonus points if you can work one of your most recent texts into the lyrics of a song.
Okay.
For this musical.
That could be in trouble.
All right, Kevin, would you like to go first?
I'll go first, yep.
What color dice?
Pink, hot pink.
Cool.
What's the name of you? What's your name for that dice?
Kevin, what do you name the pink dice?
Pinkalicious.
Pinkalicious.
All right.
You have number 8.
Oh.
All right.
Which is?
The Mandalorian.
Great. Star Wars. Perfect. So the most recent song I listened to was from Sarah Bareilles' Amidst the Chaos album. So I have Sarah Bareilles writing a musical, which is she's got it. She's done it before. She's fine. So Sarah Bareilles writing a Star Wars musical about a guy who wants to babysit Baby Yoda. All right. So the whole entire musical is just the Mandalorian trying to put Baby Yoda to sleep, but Baby Yoda won't go to sleep. So because Sarah Bareilles is so good at those like really beautiful haunting lullaby melodies. So this would be like a full musical of her writing of the Mandalorian trying to put Baby Yoda to sleep. And some of the lyrics in one of the lullabies would be, "Don't worry, I already ordered a Domino's pizza because I texted that to my sister 45 minutes ago." So it's like trying to get the, it's trying to get Yoda to dream of like Domino's pizzas. Because they have those in Mandaloria, where he's from.
That's like that meme with where it's like Baby Yoda being like, "I need chicky nuggies."
Yeah, so that's the whole musical, and it's called Bedtime for Baby Yoda by Sarah Bareilles.
Ooh, great, that's
beautiful,
perfect. Would anyone like to volunteer to go next?
I better go soon because I'm already like 3 sheets to the wind.
What color dice, Megan?
Oh, Bubblicious. Okay.
Bubblicious. Number 7. Love is Blind.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Megan, you've watched all of it, haven't you?
I sat down at midnight and watched that show. No, 11 o'clock and watched till 5:30 in the morning. And after I did it, I sat there and I was like, I have made a life choice that I can never go back.
But your Insta stories about it were so good.
I watched the first 30 minutes and I was like, I'm good there.
Oh, good.
I was just like, nothing can surpass this. And then, of course, Tiger King happened and I was like, just kidding. Okay, so the last song that I listened to, which is not like me, by the way, I put it on to work out, is called Touchin' Lovin', featuring Nicki Minaj.
Yes, Nicki Minaj.
So good.
Nicki Minaj is composing the music to it, Touchin' Lovin'.
Is the title song.
It's the title song. And the first thing is, "How you feeling, baby?"
Ooh.
Yeah.
It wasn't as exciting as Kevin's, but I do feel like it all kind of like came together.
Oh my God, Nicki Minaj is like the only person who should write a Broadway version of Love is Blind.
That's actually an incredible combo.
I know. Yeah. Touch and Love and Jennifer.
It's also really ironic that the song is called Touching Lovin', but like Love is Blind, as far as I know, they can't touch each other.
Mm. Until they're engaged.
Or see each other.
It's very theatrical, really.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine like the beautiful pods that would like fly in and fly out with the actors in them on Broadway?
No, they'd just be in the boxes. They wouldn't even look at the stage until they got together.
Right. Oh, well,
yeah. The set could really be something, and then they go to that beautiful like place in Mexico or something.
Or you do it as stunt casting, so every week there's different actors playing the like two leads, and the actors don't know who else got cast, so they're performing all week with somebody they don't know.
Yeah, this is great.
Cast in musicals and not write them. You guys are much better at it. But yeah, how you feeling, baby?
Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay. What color dice?
Oh, yeah. We need to do copper.
Yeah, this one's nice. Okay.
Can I have to name it?
If you want to.
What's your dice named?
Well, it's copper, so how about Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Ooh, good one. Hey.
And you got the number 4.
Okay.
Which is the TV show You.
You know what? Haven't watched it.
What? No.
It's about creepy stalker boy.
Right. With that guy, Penn Badgley, is that right?
Yeah, he locks people in a glass box.
What's in the box?
I think I auditioned for that show, but I clearly was not on it.
They're like, so the show's called You, but the character is not you.
You.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the most recent song you've listened to?
It was Everybody Dance by Sheep.
Nice.
Right.
Because we had a little disco moment while I was painting my bathroom this morning. So is it the Chic musical?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of You?
Yes.
Which is sort of interesting. And the my last text is, ooh, make your floor tiles look good and Free is great.
That's how he cleans, like, the murders off the
floor. So.
All right, Brian, it's your turn.
Oh, right. I'm going to go with the, what was it? It was like a green and purple dice.
What?
The Beetlejuice dice.
Ooh.
Yes.
R.I.P. Beetlejuice.
Yeah, right.
You have the number 3.
Okay.
Which is Tiger King.
Yes.
So good.
And amazingly, the last song I listened to was Candy Cane Lane from Sia's Every Day is Christmas album.
Yes, Sia's writing a Broadway musical.
I love that.
So move over, Andrew Lippa. Sia's writing the Tiger King musical. yeah, I think, so this is what I think. I think that in the Tiger King musical, all the interludes where they're moving sets is actually Joe Exotic's country song. So when you're moving sets, like that's the in between. But the actual, like, these are the songs. What?
Those aren't him.
Oh yeah, this is controversy.
He hired somebody on like Craigslist to sing his stuff.
But so Sia's gonna write this Tiger King musical, and I mean I it's not this. I mean, this is all new. This is not a jukebox. This is all new music, and it's actually completely sung through.
Oh.
Oh, as
Brian and I have said, Sia is absolutely brilliant.
Yes,
and
really, she's my favorite.
Like, I love Sia.
She should write a Broadway musical because she's brilliant.
And they're going to be in Act 2, there is an incredible sequence that's like the Dream Ballet, but it's all this like modern interpretation. Like, everyone's dressed as tigers, so it's a tiger ballet.
Wait, does the husband get fed to the tigers in that ballet?
No. This is... Is
it pro Carol or is it?
Yeah, so, where do you stand?
So
they all have flower.
I'm not Sia, so I'm not going to like put upon where she is pro or con Carol, but it is absolutely going to be on the fence, Carol.
It like leaves you wondering.
Absolutely.
It could be like an Edwin Drood thing where the audience votes.
On. Votes. I do think, okay, I'm taking that. Throughout the show, during big decision points, one is, did Carol Baskin do it? Another is, did Joe set the fire? All of these things are voting points, and the show changes just slightly based on what they vote for. And Sia has different songs for all those answers. So the last text that happened was, wait, she lives with a husky? And that fits in nicely.
Sia, your work here is done.
But yeah, that's my Sia Tiger King musical.
Kimberly, are you going to roll as well?
Oh, I can.
Yeah, do it.
I think you must.
Okay, I will roll 2.
2, all right, 2.
What is 2?
Community.
That just came on. Netflix?
Either.
Yes, it was already on Hulu.
What's Community?
It's with Joel McHale when they're at a community college.
It's so good, Kevin. I actually think you would love it.
No, you should start it. I can't figure out what the most recent thing I listened to on my phone because I've just been listening to podcasts.
Sure.
And so unless we want Dax Shepard to write a musical.
Yeah, we do. Go for it.
Great. So Dax Shepard.
The Dax Shepard musical.
Is writing Community because he will also produce, direct, and star.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And so
he's a multi-hyphenate. I get it.
Outsource. Kristen Bell is going to play Britta.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a family affair.
Yeah.
Britta Filter?
Yeah. There's a Britta Dream Ballet.
Yes.
As Britta Filter.
Danny Hootie is just going to reprise his role because he has been in a musical before.
Sure. Troy Abbott in the morning.
Yeah, and it's just a bunch of really silly, weird songs. that seems like they've made them up that night.
What about your most recent text to be in the lyrics?
Oh, that I've texted someone. These are my rules.
Who made these rules, by the way?
My text is just, aw. That's going to be Shirley's 11 o'clock number.
Great. It's just called, aw.
Aww. Aww.
I just want to picture like the way that you'd have to like do that vowel for that to work on like a belt number.
It would be an aw. It would just be an aw vowel, and then
you'd be like aw.
You'd have to speak it a few times so that everyone was aware that you were just saying something a little bit different.
Right, totally.
Right, yeah.
That was Phantom of the Internet?
Yes.
Loved it. That was so good.
Very nice.
That was great. Was
fun.
Yeah, so question for you, too. You both are in Phantom, or will be again. What do you two feel like your chemistry brings to this version of Raoul and Christine?
I feel like the people that they brought in, like, you know, I feel like we're kind of an edgier, like, hip.
It's kind of sexy. Like, Megan.
Yeah, it's sexy.
Megan is a sexy person. Like, she's like a sexual being, and which I think is awesome for this show, because this show is, turns out, you guys, about sex. So I think that's great to have that at the center, because if you don't, then, like, what is it about? I don't know.
Sure.
So there's something like really sexy about Megan as the anchor of that. And that's just enjoyable to play into. And I think it makes like, I don't know, it makes it like a little steamy.
I totally agree. And like, I feel like sometimes the audience will never pick Raoul, because they're like, well, of course you're going to pick Phantom no matter what. But like John and Ben, I mean, it's literally like, oh my God, these are two really sexy guys, speaking of sexy, on stage. And like, they're handsome and they're men. Like,
and they're so tall.
Oh my God, I know. Problem in the land of wizards. Like, I'm so small compared to, but they're so, both of you guys are so manly. And like, I agree. Like, I feel that with you too. Like, there's an instant chemistry and connection and sexuality that makes it exciting. And like, you know, it's, no one's afraid to get physical when Andrew was in town, just, you know, before we did the shutdown, he was like, you have to remember too, like, not only did he say this is about sex, but it's a rock concert. And I feel like, John, you have that charisma and that, I don't know, there's just like an energy, like people are just like, whoo, yes. Like,
I read an article, I don't remember where I read it, but it was about the Phantom of the Opera, and it was talking about how the Phantom and Raoul do the exact same like courtship of Christine, but like how it's a commentary on like the aristocracy versus like the lower class trying to win someone's love. And I found it like really interesting that like the Phantom is just doing what he can create by making music for her, whereas Raoul is trying to like throw money around and buy her love. And like, it's a really interesting kind of take on how those characters are, but they're both just like carnal interested in this girl because she's like the hottie who can sing.
Right. If you're into that opera sort of thing, which I am.
So, I mean, we're talking about sex appeal, and I know where there's a place where there's tons of sex appeal.
I do too.
Tuesdays in the corner
with Kevin.
What's happening?
Honestly, oh, that does not work as well over Zoom, I'll tell you that.
So, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have three highly researched questions based on Wikipedia to ask both of you.
So excited.
Oh.
So we're going to go through and see how smart I am, and then we'll see if you can answer these questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so Megan.
Okay.
Your last name is Picerno.
Yes.
Like the town in the province of Potenza in the southern Italian region of Basilica.
Close. I am Basilicad, but Picerno is a small town in Sicily.
That's what I said. So John... Your last name is Riddle, just like a riddle that was asked in the story of Oedipus by the Sphinx guarding Thebes. If you answered correctly, you were able to enter the city, but if you got it wrong, you would be eaten by the Sphinx. The riddle was, which creature has one voice and yet becomes four-footed, and then two-footed, and then three-footed. Oedipus correctly solved the riddle by answering, does anybody know?
Yeah.
A human, a person.
Human.
A man, because he crawls on all fours as a baby, then walks on 2 feet as an adult, and then uses a walking stick in old age.
For everyone listening, Megan Paterno is pointing to herself in the back.
Yeah, she totally did.
So I'm like, is the answer Megan Paterno?
In very rare accounts of the myth, there's also a second riddle.
Oh.
There are two sisters, one who gives
Tia birth. Tia and Tamara.
Exactly. One who gives birth to the other, and she in turn gives birth to the first. Who are the sisters?
Tia and Tamara.
Yes, the answer is Tia and Tamara. So the answer is night and day.
Oh. Paradoxically, I'm terrible at riddles, so.
So my question is, what is both of your favorite late night snack?
Oh my God. Recently, I've started in quarantine making chocolate no-bake cookies, which my best friend's mom used to make when I was a kid. It's just oats and chocolate and butter and sugar melted together with peanut butter. You don't bake them. You just put them in little balls. That's my favorite late night snack of late, and it's a problem.
If I had a mustache, I would twirl it right now.
Megan, what's your favorite?
Okay, so I have adopted the Pirate's Booty Costco size bag and have fallen asleep with it on multiple times and woken up the next morning.
Been there.
Yep, Pirate's Booty.
You roll over and it like itches because there's kernels in your
bag. Is like I've heard. Big. So Pirate's Booty and Tate's chocolate chip cookies. Somehow, I don't know why, it's probably, they're going to need the jaws of life to get me out on the stage. Get there.
The boat, both of us get in the boat, it just stops.
People are calling it the Quarren 15.
Yeah.
No, but John, you're built for the stage family member, right?
I am, yes. Are you?
I am. Kimberly.
Shout out to Bill for the stage.
Sign up for your free trial. It's only $8 while gyms are closed. So do that.
And it's like it's the one thing getting me through. I don't have any sort of, I'm not that person that's like, I have my regimen where I do this and this and this, but I make sure that I do that every day.
Same.
And you put in that I did my flow today because I did.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Okay. Question two. Megan. Your first name is Megan, like Megan Thee Stallion, the American rapper, singer, and songwriter who released EPs entitled Tina Snow, Fever, and the recent Suga.
Suga?
Suga, butter, flour. So my question is, who are some of the most inspirational people in your life if I specifically stipulate that these people must be fictional animated characters?
I wish you could all see Megan's face right now.
Who are some of the most inspirational animated characters in your life?
Kevin, this is a spectacular. This is my favorite Kevin's Corner question of all time. You really, that twist.
It's definitely Disney characters. It's the first thing coming to mind. So Little Mermaid, Belle, and Mulan.
Those are good ones because like Little Mermaid like fights for her own like place in the world.
Exactly.
Belle is smart and is okay with that.
Mulan's just.
And Balloon is the best.
Mulan's just a badass. Oh, God, help me.
Mulan is a badass.
All right, John, you?
Let me ask you this, though. Like, there's animation in Mary Poppins, but does that count?
Yeah.
You better choose those penguins.
Like 100%. A goat in the If You
Well, no, because I wanted to choose Mary Poppins because she's like, Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke are like my two.
We should be Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke.
So wait, do you mean like Mary Poppins the character, but Dick Van Dyke the actor?
Honestly, kind of. Like if I'm being fully honest, yeah.
Yeah.
But also Dick Van Dyke is just playing himself in that movie anyway.
Yeah. Dick Van Dyke is like a human cartoon character, so that totally works out.
Yeah.
We just did a deep dive on the Mary Poppins universe, so you're hitting a sweet spot right now.
I just love it. I still love it. I even love the sequel. I'll go there. And
yeah.
So, well, and Cruella de Vil is major.
Oh.
And the Three Fairies in Sleeping Beauty.
Mm. They're my favorite. I used to watch it like when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I watched Sleeping Beauty every day twice for like 2 years.
Honestly, same.
And my mom would set me up with a bunch of like empty bowls and pots and pans, so I would actually cook the birthday cake with them during that sequence. Those are the best. Cup, 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 cup,
cup. Yeah. I could never do it. I would always try to do it when I was a kid. I could never do it.
Wait, but Kimberly, do you have one?
So I would say Mulan 2.
Do you mean Mulan, like just Mulan also, or Mulan 2, like
specifically Mulan 2? The journey that Mulan goes on is
Mulan 2.
Yeah.
Amazing. Brian, do you have one?
Oh, it's Goofy and Max from a Goofy movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's so true, too.
All right, this is question 3. Are you guys ready? Because it's, like, really smart.
Okay.
John, your name is John Riddle, which sounds a whole lot like Tom Riddle, the muggle real name of the supervillain Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter series. Megan, your last name is Paterno, which begins with a P, just like Peter Pettigrew, one of Lord Voldemort's minions in the Harry Potter series. What a coincidence.
I think not.
So my question is, if Harry Potter characters were quarantined at Hogwarts with characters from another fantasy TV, movie, or book series in a wild crossover episode situation, what fantasy characters should they be quarantined with? And what would some of the crazy things be that would happen? So you guys should decide together what fantasy, like, TV book or movie series should be quarantined with them.
I'm, like, looking at my bookcase.
I was going to say, like, what constitutes as fantasy?
Like, the Game of Thrones people, the, like, Narnia people.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings people. The Hunger Games people. The... like
the boxcar children.
The boxcar children.
Like,
ooh, what about like, remember the Rescuers?
They also went down under.
Then they also went down under. Can you imagine?
Okay, Rescuers.
I cannot anymore. It's been too long.
I like that. The Rescuers, because then you can have a whole thing, because like Harry has an owl, but they're mice.
Whoa.
See, that's why I think it's more Game of Thrones than, like, dragons are involved.
The one Weasley boy is a dragon tamer.
Mm-hmm. That would be helpful.
Which it would be helpful. Mm-hmm. See, I stopped reading the Harry Potter at book 4, and I refuse to watch the movies until I read the books. So this is problematic. So I don't even know what you got.
Kimberly's right. Now is the time.
No. I know. I do know who, or do you remember Peter Pettigrew though? And obviously Tom Riddle, because that's every cashier in New York's favorite joke.
Really?
Every time you pay for something, they're like, oh my God, it's just like Tom Riddle.
Tom Riddle. You know him? I always say it's my uncle.
And this has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay!
Did we answer the question?
Doesn't sort of.
Let's play another game before we end the episode.
Sounds good.
I took a little something out of Brian's textbook, and I looked up some preschool games you can play over Zoom if you are now teaching remotely.
This is wonderful.
Amazing.
Awesome.
I'm so in.
And I found out 100 preschool trivia questions.
Yes.
What are, like, children's trivia questions? Some of these I don't think I would know if I was 4. So we'll just sort of rapid fire.
These are like gifted 4-year-olds.
Huh?
These are like gifted 4-year-olds.
What's going to be really bad, though, is if a 4-year-old would know, but a 30-year-old would be like, I'm not sure.
Being 4 is different, though, nowadays, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
We're a lot older.
It was much simpler when we were 4.
Yeah. We're like, I'm sorry, I can't answer the phone. Leave a voicemail on our voicemail machine. Like.
Okay, Megan, you can go first. In what country were the Olympic Games invented?
Greece.
Yeah!
Yay!
Would a 4-year-old know that?
It's just
a 4-year-old know that?
Questions for kids.
Okay.
4-year-old?
We're all a kid. Kevin.
Yes.
Who was the 16th president of the United States?
Abraham Lincoln.
Correct. Brian.
A four-year-old does not know that.
Yeah, there's no way a four-year-old knows that.
I wouldn't have known. This is a game meant to shame four-year-olds who have
knowledge. No, I think it's shaming the 30-year-olds.
Brian, who invented the telephone?
A four-year-old would not know that. Because Bell Atlantic doesn't even exist anymore, but it's Alexander Graham Bell.
God, thank God, because Thomas Edison was the first thing that came to mind, and I was so ashamed.
I mean, phonograph is not terribly off.
Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga?
Yeah, Gaga.
Okay, John. The Statue of Liberty came from which country to the United States?
Oh, I know.
That would be France.
That is correct.
Bonjour.
Yes.
That would be more of
Muzzy?
Megan, who painted the Mona Lisa?
Da Vinci.
Yeah.
DiCaprio.
of
the DiCaprio Da Vinci.
You're like one of your French girls, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin.
Yes, oh God.
What's the name of the town where the Flintstones live?
Bedrock.
Yes.
Oh my God, I didn't know that one.
I'm not sure I would have gotten that.
I would not have. Brian.
Yes.
Which famous ocean liner sank on her first voyage in 1912?
That is, again, a DiCaprio joint. the Titanic.
Correct.
John, mm-hmm. Which movie is Prince Charming from?
Cinderella?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you call the prince from Snow White?
Gary.
No way.
That makes sense. That tracks.
Yeah, that works.
Oh, no, he's Prince Philip, right?
No, that's Sleeping Beauty.
That's Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Cups.
Gary works. Cups.
Megan.
What is the White Prince?
I'll look it up. Keep going.
Well, I ask Megan, which country did Justin Bieber come from?
I'm sad that I know this. Canada.
Correct.
he's only known as the Prince. Prince Florian.
Florian?
So it says the Prince, known as Prince Florian since the franchise started, or the rumored Prince Ferdinand, ooh, is the secondary protagonist and the male protagonist of Snow White.
Ferdinand. You could never call that out in a bit of passion. Yeah. Oh, Ferdinand.
Isn't that a bull? Isn't that a bull movie?
You couldn't call it
out. Now.
You couldn't call it out, but like he could get it.
Oh my goodness. Kevin.
Yes.
What is the nickname for the bell in the clock of the Palace of Westminster in London?
Big Ben?
Yeah.
Okay.
The name is Ben?
Big Ben.
So I didn't know the bell was called
that.
Yeah. It's like the bell. Clock. It's not the clock.
Oh, twist. Who knew?
Brian.
Yes.
What is the name of Mickey Mouse's pet dog?
Pluto.
John, in what movie will you find characters who are looking for a brain, a heart, and courage?
My all-time favorite, Wizard of Oz.
Correct.
He's like my favorite, The Matrix Revolution.
Yeah, my all-time favorite, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Megan.
For reference.
What movie is Princess Fiona from?
Jack, I just saw it for the first time on Netflix.
The first time?
Oh, wait, did you watch the Broadway one?
Musical, yeah.
Nice.
Had you seen the animated film before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All of us were like, wait, where was your childhood?
Yeah, no, I got it.
Kevin.
Yes.
What is the largest continent?
You got this, Kevin.
I believe in you.
Antarctica.
No, Asia.
Oh, right. I knew it was an A.
I still believe you. It's okay.
If you knew it was an A, you still had one third of a chance.
Brian, what is the tallest mountain in the world?
Everest?
Correct.
I got afraid there for a second.
I would have said Kilimanjaro just because it's fun to say.
That is. We could keep going through names.
John, how many Great Lakes are there?
Oh, I'm from the Great Lakes. I should know this.
How many?
There's five.
Correct.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, what are they?
Superior, Erie.
Holmes. Remember Holmes.
Wait, Superior, Erie.
Sherlock?
No, we're both from the Great Lakes area.
Yes. Why do I...
Oh, homes, like Huron, Ontario. Oh, yeah. I understand. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank God. Okay, Huron, Ontario. Like I was saying, Huron, Ontario. Erie, Michigan.
And Superior. You got all of them.
Yeah, we got them.
Oh, yeah, one's just called Superior.
That was stressful.
Megan, what is the imaginary line called that connects the North and the South Pole? They get kind of hard.
You should see all of our faces.
That like moment of fear when you realize you don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Meridian?
Yeah, the prime meridian.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Damn.
Brian. Oh, wait, no, Kevin.
Yes.
What kind of tree do prunes come from?
A prune?
Three kisses, tree? Right?
Is it a plum tree?
It's a plum tree. Brian.
Yes.
What gulf is located to the south of Florida?
Kevin and I should have switched questions.
I know.
The Gulf of Mexico.
Correct.
It's pronounced Mexico, so you're wrong.
And sorry.
Two more questions. John, what is the hardest natural substance?
Adamantium. Hello.
There it is.
Oh, diamond.
Correct.
Kimberly gave me a visual cue to her beautiful wedding ring. Also, good job to the husband.
Right? He did it himself. Okay, the last question for everyone. Whoever can say it first.
Okay.
Which state was the 50th to join the union?
Hawaii.
Yes.
Megan nailed it.
So Megan wins. Yay!
Yay!
New York.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. This was so much fun. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, once Broadway resumes, and it will, go see Phantom. Go see these two incredible talents bringing the sex appeal to Raul and Christine. They are, but we've seen it. They are spectacular. And, you know, one thing that I want someone could say about their performance is that love never dies. Love never falters. Once it has spoken, love is yours. Love never fades. Love never alters. Hearts may get broken. Love endures. Hearts may get broken, but love endures. And that is our quote of the episode. I'm trying to sneak him in so Kevin doesn't make fun of me.
He goes, we end up with a quote. I'm like, what? We do? What?
But you can follow these two on social media, as Kimberly says. Google them. You'll find their social media. But thank you so much for joining us. You know, this is a crazy time. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. You can follow us at Broadwasted. You can find us on things like our Patreon. You can find us at our Facebook group. And, of course, on Spotify and iTunes. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
Thank you.
Thank you all both so much for joining us. You're so wonderful. We end every episode with raising our glasses.
We do.
Our white claws and tumblers full of wine. Champagne. And we raise our glasses and we say,
Zoo-wop.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Bye, you guys.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.